Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is your call. Californians will be able to buy health insurance plans through Covered California starting tomorrow. The enrollment period will run for 3 months. The process has always been pretty confusing and irritating. Every time we do shows about healthcare, we get so many questions from people who are very confused about the process. With the Trump administration hell-bent on dismantling the Affordable Care Act, it's even worse. The administration has cut enrollment periods in half. So it's really important to tell your family, colleagues, and your networks that the enrollment period in California opens tomorrow and runs for 3 months. The administration has also reduced funding for public outreach from $100 million to $10 million. And this is really important because community groups have done a really good job of trying to get the word out and to answer questions. The administration has also canceled cost-sharing reimbursements to insurers, which reduces costs for low-income people. So on today's Your Call, we are opening the lines. We'd love to hear your questions and stories about Covered California. You can give us a call at 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email your call at kalw.org. Joining us to sort through the confusion are three guests. Laurel Lucia is director of the healthcare program at UC Berkeley's Labor Center. Laurel focuses on the health coverage and economic impacts of the Affordable Care Act and the repeal on California. She also focuses on insurance for California's immigrants and the uninsured. And Laurel joins us in studio. Hi, Laurel. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. Today, we're also joined by Trudy Lieberman. She's been a journalist for more than 45 years, covering healthcare for much of her career. She writes for the Columbia Journalism Review about media coverage of healthcare, and she writes a bi-monthly column, Thinking About Health, for the Rural Health News Service. Trudy joins us from New York. Hi, Trudy. Welcome back to the show.
Hi. Thanks, Rose. Always good to be with you.
Always great to have you. And Anthony Wright is executive director of Health Access California, a statewide healthcare consumer advocacy coalition. Anthony led California's coalition efforts to help pass the ACA. He also works to stop hospitals from overcharging people without insurance. Anthony joins us on the line from Sacramento. Hi, Anthony. Thank you for coming back on the show.
Thank you for having me again.
Well, there's so much confusion. I mean, every time we do a show about this, people call with a lot of questions. But because of the uncertainty of the ACA, the administration cutting enrollment periods, reducing funding for public outreach, canceling cost-sharing reimbursements, there's just more confusion than ever. Laurel, what are you hearing from people about where we are right now?
Right. So Trump's decisions and Congress's attempts to repeal the Affordable Care Act have definitely created a lot of uncertainty and confusion. But here in California for 2018, most people seeking to enroll in the individual market will not be affected by these decisions. The open enrollment period in California is longer than it is nationally. It starts tomorrow and goes through January. The Affordable Care Act is still the law. The premium subsidies are still available through Covered California for those who are eligible based on income. And Covered California actually estimates that most people will pay less. Most people who are eligible for subsidies, that is, will pay less than they paid last year. And importantly, the financial assistance for out-of-pocket costs, the cost-sharing reductions, Trump defunded them, but insurers still have to pay them. And in California, Covered California has developed a workaround to ensure that individual people aren't paying the extra costs that creates.
How is it that California was able to extend enrollment periods and ensure that citizens here would not be affected by what the administration is doing?
California has its own state-based exchange. A lot of other states rely on the federal exchange. And also, California passed a state law keeping the open enrollment period at 3 months.
Anthony, what would you add? How do you assess what we're dealing with right now? And even though Laurel said that California is not affected by much of what the Trump administration is doing, there's still a lot of confusion out there.
Right, and I think that's part of the strategy by the Trump administration. That's part of the sabotage by the federal administration, which is to create confusion and make things needlessly complex, which will then scare some people off. We are concerned that people may be scared off by the headlines about the ACA and the various attempts to repeal Obamacare, these various headlines in the paper about this or that. I think because the ACA was not repealed at the end of the day, and we still have that framework and financing in place, then that allowed California to take very proactive, in some cases creative, steps to shield consumers from the sabotage. So in each case where the Trump administration took an action to attack the ACA, California has been able to take a counteraction. So the Trump administration cuts the open enrollment period in half. We will seek to preserve it. They cut the marketing budget by 90%. We're maintaining our marketing budget and, in fact, augmenting it. The fact that they're trying to undo the cost sharing reductions, we found a workaround so that the vast majority of folks will be held harmless, and some might even benefit from additional premium subsidies to make up the difference. So the key thing for people to recognize is to not be scared off, to go and get the coverage that they need and that they're entitled to, and to shop around. Mm-hmm. They should know that financial assistance is available to be able to help afford coverage, and that there are options available. And so, if there is a plan that they did see an increase, the best deal last year is not necessarily the best deal this year. And so shopping around is really, really important.
So even if you have insurance through Covered California right now, you might want to check to see if you can find a better plan that might be cheaper starting tomorrow?
That's right. That even though there was some headlines about the cost increases that averaged around 12%, you know, that's an average. Some insurers went up more, other insurers went up less. And as a result, again, if you chose based on just the cheapest plan in a certain tier last year, that may not be the same plan this year. The cheapest plan may be a different plan. And in fact, the researchers suggest that if you do shop around, your increase could be as low as 3%, even if you're unsubsidized. If you shop around, because there are differences in what each of the insurers decided to do.
Enrollment under Covered California begins tomorrow and it ends on January 31st, 2018. The website is coveredca.com, coveredca.com. If you'd rather call, the phone number is 800-300-1506, 800-300-1506, and we'll repeat this throughout the show. Trudy, you cover healthcare throughout the country. What do you think about how California officials have pushed back against what the Trump administration is doing?
Well, I think that it's probably all to the good for California, but it doesn't do much for the rest of the country, where the insurance mechanism in the state is not particularly aggressive at pushing back. Mm. I mean, California decided to run its own exchange, and it's done it fairly successfully. Most of the other states have not done that, and so they are relying on the federal exchanges as they have been since the beginning of this thing in 2013. And so I think what we're seeing across the rest of the country is not only confusion caused by the Trump administration's actions, but just the general confusion and difficulty buying health insurance. And I think that that's been minimized somewhat in the advice that's been given to people. I've just completed a piece that'll go up on CJR tomorrow, looking at coverage and also giving advice to people. And what I've seen are stories that mostly add to the confusion rather than to clear it up. And these are stories that are well-meaning, obviously, but they tend to not really get to what the consumer needs to know. And I need to say right off the beginning here that buying a health insurance policy is extremely complicated, and it's extremely complicated even for the experts like me. And I just looked on the Oregon Exchange this morning and want to share with your readers excuse me, what I found. I took a hypothetical family, age 51, with a 12-year-old child, and the rating factors for insurance are going to be hitting family policies very hard this year. So families with children may find themselves paying a lot more because of some further actions the federal government took, and those have not been well publicized. But I found for this hypothetical family that was making $70,000, they did qualify for a subsidy of around $720, and they were, they could find a policy for this Portland zip code that they lived in that ranged between $199 and $1,321. And I'm sure in California, your listeners will be seeing variations very similar to that. But I think the thing that is forgotten in all this mix when we're telling people to shop around, we're not telling them exactly how to do it. And there are significant trade-offs when you look at a health insurance premium that are really important to remember. The premium does not tell you the whole story. In fact, that's a very small part of the story, because many of these insurers are coming in with low premiums, as they have been doing since 2013, and then loading the cost up on the out-of-pocket costs and other features of the policy. That's just how this insurance works. So for this hypothetical family in Oregon, they were paying this very low premium for $199, but they had no coverage until they had satisfied a $14,700 out-of-pocket limit. And their deductible, family deductible, was $13,700, which meant that they pretty much had no coverage until they hit those benchmarks. And it was then after they did that, they would have coverage for the coinsurance would be, they'd have help with coinsurance and co-pays and so forth. Now, at the opposite end, where they would be paying this $1,200 and some dollars, what they would get would be a lot lower out-of-pocket expense and a deductible of only $2,000 for the family. And so their cost sharing was much lower. Now, which is the better policy for the family, the one with the lower premium or the one with the lower cost sharing? And only families can decide that on their own based on their own tolerance for risk. I mean, you can believe that you're healthy and your family's healthy and you're never going to need a policy for the year, and lots of people think that way, so they're going to buy the cheap one. And then what happens when something unforeseen happens is often the case, then they're going to have to front all these out-of-pocket costs. And so people need to, when they're doing this shopping around, they really need to think about this trade-off and the interplay between the elements of the policy and how much risk they can afford.
Right, and that's what confuses a lot of people. Here in California, Laurel, according to the Bay Area News Group, rates next year are expected to jump just over 12% statewide, but people in most Bay Area counties will see rate increases of between 4 and 8%. This is according to data from Covered California last year. In comparison, as Trudy said, rates in other states are jumping more than 30%. I mean, this is massive. But for a lot of people, 8% is also pretty big.
Right.
I mean, you know, I have a good friend who just saw a $60 increase a month. That's a lot of money over the course of the year.
Right.
That was in California.
And a lot of that premium increase is due to rising medical costs, which we've seen year after year, not just in Covered California, but in job-based coverage and in healthcare more broadly. And so, you know, rising healthcare costs are definitely a problem that needs to be addressed. Another part of the 12% statewide premium increase this year is a one-time increase related to a tax that health insurers need to pay starting this year. But Covered California estimates that 3% of that 12% increase is due to the uncertainty created by the Trump administration and the attempts to repeal the ACA. So insurers have built in some room in their premiums to account for this uncertainty.
But what would you say to people who see the profits from these health insurance companies and see this massive CEO pay?
Right. I think that needs to be addressed.
Anthony, what would you say about hikes, specifically in California? What can people expect?
Right. Well, and, you know, an average increase, there's no such thing as an average patient. You know, every patient's going to see something different. And so there's some that are going to see pretty big spikes, well above that average. There's others that are actually probably going to, that might actually even see improvements, especially for those who are below 400% of the poverty level, which is about $98,000 for a family of four, who are available for subsidies. They have the guarantee that they are able to get a coverage at a certain percentage of their income on a sliding scale from 2 to 9.5% of their income. And so regardless of what happens with the premiums, they have that guarantee that they can get a silver plan that is there. I want to really reinforce Trudy's point about the balance of not just the premiums, but also the cost sharing. And one of the good things about California's model, which is really different than most other states, is that Covered California has really worked to standardize the benefits so that all the plans in the silver tier, all the plans in the gold tier, all the plans in the bronze tier are have exactly the same benefit and cost sharing structure, so you can really make apples to apples comparisons between them, and then you can make decisions on the tier about this balance between how much you want to pay in premiums versus how much you're willing to absorb in cost sharing. Covered California has also done something important, which is to try to design the benefits so that to the extent that there are deductibles in the silver and bronze plans, that there's a lot of primary and preventative care before the deductible, so that if you need hospitalization, if you require major health care, then the deductible kicks in. But if you're going in for checkups, if you're going in for routine visits, you that happens before the deductible. So California, again, has tried to not just implement the Affordable Care Act, but improve upon it. And unfortunately, in other states, the state officials have been working not to improve upon it, but to sabotage it. And that's why there is such variation across the country with regard to rates and with regard to people's experience.
Rose, can I make another point here?
Please.
We think of the silver plan as being sort of the, quote, gold standard, because that's the one on which cost-sharing subsidies are based. But this year is different. This year, my sources in the actuarial business tell me that families may very well find that a bronze and a gold plan are better deals than the silver plan. And that's because of the way the federal government has suggested that the states deal with the pricing that they had to do because of the uncertainty over the cost-sharing subsidies that has been going on for several months now. So that in many, many areas of the country, and perhaps in California, the silver plan may not be your best buy.
Trudy Lieberman, go ahead, Anthony, you want to comment on that one?
Right. I mean, I would certainly say that for people who are subsidized, I think that there is that advice is absolutely correct for folks who are not subsidized. So just to be clear,
you have to be careful about the subsidy, Anthony, because people are confusing the cost sharing subsidies with the premium subsidies, and I think we have to be very careful about what we're talking about. It's the premium at the cost sharing subsidies that are based on the silver plan, and if people need those cost-sharing subsidies, then they have to buy the silver plan.
Yes, and just to explain what's going on for your listeners, the Trump administration, in denying already budgeted, already contracted for funds to insurers, the insurers have had to make up that money by raising the price. They've loaded those prices on the silver plans in the exchanges. Now, for people who do get a premium subsidy, those folks who are under 400% of the poverty level, which is, again, $48,000 for an individual, $98,000 for a family of four, they will be largely protected from that increase because they're paying at a percentage of their income anyway. For those who are over that, they might find a better deal in the bronze or gold categories, or to go off exchange where there will be products that will mirror the silver plan, but will not have that 12% surcharge, what we call the Trump tax, caused by his destructive action to defund this money that goes for to bring down the cost sharing subsidy. So in other words, depending on who you are, the Covered California, the folks on the phone and on the website, and the broker and agent community and enroller assistant community have this information and are willing to help people walk through it, because it is complicated. It's something that we shouldn't have to deal with, but that the President Trump has made a complicated situation already more complicated. But we have figured out this workaround in California, and you should ask your Covered California representative about that if you're applying.
And again, the open enrollment period to buy health insurance through Covered California starts tomorrow. It runs through January 31st. The website is coveredca.com, and the phone number is 800-300-1506, 800-300-1506. Anthony Wright is Executive Director of Health Access California. Laurel Lucia is Director of the Healthcare Program at UC Berkeley's Labor Center. And Trudy Lieberman is a longtime journalist who has written extensively about healthcare. She writes for the Columbia Journalism Review and writes a bi-monthly column, Thinking About Health, for the Rural Health News Service. And if you have any questions about healthcare, now is the time to call. There's a lot of confusion out there. I was actually getting confused just listening to some of the things Trudy and Anthony were saying about bronze and silver plans. 866-798-8255. 866-798-8255. You can also email yourcall@kalw.org. Let's hear from Deborah in Novato. Hi, Deborah. Welcome to the show.
Hi, I'm turning 65 this next year, and I'm wondering about switching. I'm very low income, so my health care has been really nicely covered by Medi-Cal. What do I need to know about switching to Medicare? Do I need to sign up? What do I need to do?
Okay, and Deborah, stay on the line in case you have a follow-up question. Trudy, I'm not sure you were able to hear Deborah, but she's turning 65 soon. She's low income. She says she's had good care with Medi-Cal, but she's thinking about switching to Medicare. What does she need to do?
Well, she may be duly eligible for Medi-Cal and Medicare, and I think maybe Anthony can talk to that, but in general, people who are switching into Medicare do need to sign up when they turn 65, and then they become eligible for benefits. But they also have to cover the things that Medicare doesn't cover. Medicare Part B, for example, only covers 80% of the costs of doctor visits, hospital outpatient care, lab tests, and so on. So traditionally, people have bought Medicare supplement insurance to buy something that will tide them over and absorbs that 20%. So Medicare supplement coverage is still very robust in the state of California. People buy it, and there's certainly help all through the state for people buying this from the HICAP program. The health information programs that are set up all across the state, and maybe, Rose, you can tell your listeners how to access their website. They are a treasure trove of help and information for you, and they are probably the best people who can advise you. And then there's a caveat I would give here, that too often people, especially those coming from employer plans and turning 65, are being automatically signed up for Medicare Advantage plans, which means that they are being put into a private alternative to Medicare that still has to provide all of the Medicare benefits and some extras a lot of plans do because they're being overpaid by the federal government to do this. But it's basically a way that Medicare is being privatized, and these Medicare Advantage plans are being sold right now because it's open enrollment. I mean, I get tons of brochures from them almost every single day right now, and this will continue on until December. But I think people have to be very, very careful about the choice that they make, whether they want to remain in traditional Medicare and buy a supplement or go into a Medicare Advantage plan where you may get a cheaper premium, but you're going to have to pay a very large out-of-pocket cost to do that. And I think that that trade-off also is not very well explained. And the best source of help for the caller is to go to one of the high-cap programs and make an appointment and have them explain all the options.
All right, thank you. Anthony, anything to add before we go to break?
No, just, I mean, the if you're on Medi-Cal now, then she could, she should continue to be eligible for Medi-Cal post-65, and then the Medi-Cal will serve as a wraparound the traditional Medicare benefit. So she will continue to be on Medi-Cal, but her primary coverage will now shift to be Medicare, and there will be some options. I second Trudy's recommendation of checking in with a high cap counselor or others to make sure that transition goes smoothly. We are proud that with the Affordable Care Act, we were able to expand our Medi-Cal program. We now have a third of Californians who get Medi-Cal coverage and benefit from that. It's a safety net for all of us. It covers a third of our state, half of our children, two-thirds of our nursing home residents, and it's a really important part of our overall healthcare system. We're talking a lot. Covered California gets a lot more attention, but Medi-Cal has been really the driver and the engine of the coverage expansions that we've seen in California.
All right. Well, I hope that helps you, Deborah. And if you're interested in talking to a Medicare counselor, you can find one online. If you search HICAP, it's HICAP, or you can call 800-434-0222, 800-434-0222. And again, searching, it's HICAP, and I hope that helps you. Today, we are talking about healthcare on Your Call. The enrollment period to get healthcare under Covered California starts tomorrow and ends on January 31st. The website is coveredca.com. The phone number is 800-300-1506, 800-300-1506. Today, we're joined by Anthony Wright, Executive Director of Health Access California. Trudy Lieberman writes about healthcare for the Columbia Journalism Review and Rural Health News Service. And Laura Lucia is Director of the Healthcare Program at UC Berkeley's Labor Center. This is Your Call, and we'll be back after this. This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, we'll speak with Dr. Robert Lustig about his new book, The Hacking of the American Mind, the science behind the corporate takeover of our bodies and brains. He says that corporations are maximizing profits by exploiting our brain physiology to conflate pleasure with happiness. So what can we do to take this on and reclaim our health? Thursday, we'll be joined by Sarah Alder Milstein and John Klein to talk about their new book, Sewing Hope, How One Factory Challenges the Apparel Industry Sweatshops. That's Thursday. Friday, it's our media roundtable. And if you have a show idea or a guest idea or a comment, you can drop us a line, yourcall@kalw.org. And if you'd like to join today's show about healthcare, the enrollment period to buy healthcare through Covered California starts tomorrow and ends on January 31st. It's really important to get this information out because the Trump administration is cutting funding for public outreach. Luckily, California is really doing its own thing, but people are still very confused because of the Republicans' efforts to completely gut the ACA. In one story, I read that about 10% of the population believes it's already been overturned. That is obviously not true, but there's a lot of confusion out there. So if you have any questions or comments for our guest today, you can drop us a line, yourcall@kalw.org, or give us a call, 866-798-8255. Today we're joined by Laura Lucia, Director of the Healthcare Program at UC Berkeley's Labor Center. Trudy Lieberman is a journalist who's been writing about healthcare for many years. Anthony Wright is Executive Director of Health Access California. One other piece of really important information I wanted to get out, Laurel, is that Anthem Blue Cross will offer covered California plans only in Santa Clara County, five counties in the Central Valley, and 22 in Northern California counties. The Bay Area is not on this list, right? So if you have Anthem Blue Cross and you live in San Francisco or Oakland, you need to get new insurance.
Right. And I want to be clear that this is a change that only affects people who are in the individual market purchasing coverage on their own. People who have Anthem through their job or through Medicare are not affected by this change. But Anthem is leaving a number of individual market regions throughout the state, including most in the Bay Area, except for Santa Clara County, as you mentioned. And so people in the individual market who have an Anthem plan need to choose a new plan. And if you don't select a new plan by mid-November, Covered California will select one for you, but you still have the opportunity to change it as long as the open enrollment period is open. So between now and January, if you're renewing your coverage and you had an Anthem plan, you'll have the opportunity to change that option. Covered California estimates that most of the doctors who are in the Anthem networks are covered by another Covered California plan. Covered California has revamped their online directory of physicians. And now when you go to the shop and compare tool in Covered California to decide which plan you want to select, you can now enter the names of up to five doctors and see whether those doctors are in each of the plans you're considering. I still think, though, it's, you know, this information changes all the time. It's always a good idea to double check with your doctor whether they're in the plan that you are considering moving to. And Covered California is offering a lot of assistance to Anthem enrollees who are affected by this to help them make a good plan choice. It's also important to mention that the state legislature passed and the governor recently signed a bill that affects people, Californians like these, who whose insurers leave the market. If you're undergoing treatment for a chronic or acute condition, or if you're pregnant, for example, your new plan is required to cover treatment with your existing doctors, assuming those doctors will accept payment from that new plan.
We were talking earlier about how to get all of this information and advice, and we have an email from Lena who says, I'm a consumer and I've gotten inaccurate information from several Covered California reps. How are these employees being trained to give people accurate information? She says, my experience is once inaccurate advice is given, it's hell to wiggle out of the problem.
Well, I definitely think it doesn't hurt to get a second opinion. There are a variety of sources for getting help with enrollment. You can call the Covered California Call Center. You can get help from a certified enroller at a community-based organization or at your local community clinic. You can find out what coverage you're eligible for at your county Medi-Cal office. You can get help from an insurance agent. There are enrollment storefronts throughout the state, and all of these options, you can go onto the Covered California website, coveredca.com, and go to the section of the website called Find Help and enter your zip code, and it will direct you to, you know, very local resources to get help with enrollment assistance. And it's I'm sorry that she got incorrect information, and you shouldn't have to, you know, check two sources, but it never hurts.
Trudy, we've had you on many times in the past talking about inaccurate information and confusion. What are you hearing from people?
The same thing. I think it's extremely difficult for people to make, quote, a great choice. I think in the end, they become so frustrated, they just make a choice, and it may be a good one or it may turn out to be a bad one. But I think that it is just almost overwhelming for people to have to find someone who's competent to explain all this. They can go to your website, which is clearly helpful, but you know, they're going to have to go through a bunch of people and make a lot of calls, and then they're going to have to be really savvy in using the website, and then they're going to have to know how to make all these trade-offs among elements of the policy and a bunch of other things, like, is my doctor going to be in there? And there's no foolproof way to know for sure whether the doctor you think you're going to have is going to be in that plan when you need him or her. I mean, he or she can move whenever they want. They can drop the plan, or the plan drops them for various reasons. Or people may end up in a situation where they are, they don't know if the doctor's in. Suppose they're having some kind of minor surgery. The anesthesiologist very well may not be part of the network. That may be a person for hire that the hospital brought in. And so you really don't know these things, and that's why we have so many people who are complaining now about these surprise bills. And it's a huge consumer problem, and it's really not being addressed at the state level very much or at the federal level. I mean, I've written about it many times, and there just doesn't seem to be any interest in kind of solving some of these problems that, like, years ago would have been solved by a consumer movement, and that seems to be absent here. Mm-hmm. And right now, if any place that's needed, it's now in this health insurance choice business, because as all three of us know who are dealing with this, and you too, Rose, because you've heard it so many times, it is extremely hard. And until we have a system that is going to recognize that and perhaps change in ways that are going to be more consumer-friendly, I think maybe this is always going to be with us.
Anthony, what do you think?
I mean, I think that Trudy's absolutely right that this that our healthcare system is needlessly complicated, and that's why there have been these various efforts that California has taken over and above the Affordable Care Act to try to simplify our system, whether it's by standardizing benefits in Covered California, or whether it's a recent law to that Laurel referenced to make sure that people have accurate provider directories, so people can actually that are updated on a weekly or a basis, so that people know what is available to them in each network and can make both decisions about what plan to purchase, but also once they're in the plan that they can go and make sure that they stay in network, because the difference in cost sharing in network is much different than going out of network. It's also the reason why last year we were able to pass the strongest bill in the nation on surprise medical bills, the issue that Trudy just referenced, to try to address the issue that people inadvertently find themselves going out of network with an anesthesiologist or something and get a huge bill as a result. That bill just started to be implemented and put into law this year in California. So we are making progress. We wish, and that's the kind of debate that we should be having nationally, rather than the debate about whether to cut back and roll back the consumer protections that have been won, to roll back coverage for 20 or 30 million Americans. We should be talking about how to take steps forward rather than taking dramatic steps backward, which is unfortunately what we're doing at the federal level.
Well, thank you for that question, and I hope that helps. Let's go next to Lisa in San Francisco. Hi, Lisa. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Rose. Thank you so much for taking this subject and my call. I just wanted to really quickly let San Francisco City residents know about the San Francisco City option, which is it's a medical reimbursement account for people that live in San Francisco. And it might be a really great combination now for people that are choosing Covered California. They're now allowing the reimbursement to go towards premiums for Covered California. And how it works is, if your employer offers you a plan and you can't afford it, you can opt out, and they will have to pay into a medical reimbursement account per hour. It's about $400 a month for people that are residing in San Francisco. So it allows people in San Francisco to make the option of buying an individual plan and getting that help, either through Covered California and also being eligible for financial assistance. This is a new adjustment to the SF City option Last year, it couldn't go to premiums for covered California, so people were forced to either choose one or the other. But for people that are mid-income or low-income, this is a really great help to opt out. And it's also really ideal for people that are contractors and that attempt to perm workers that are at the mercy of placement agencies, because it allows people to buy an individual plan, and when they are working for other people, to have assistance with that.
And Lisa, in order to qualify for Healthy San Francisco, you have to make less than $54,000 a year. Is that right?
It's not Healthy San Francisco.
Oh, it's not.
No.
Okay,
it's coverage called the San Francisco City Option.
Okay, so now I didn't know about this. Can you tell us more about this?
Yeah, I don't work with them or anything, but I've had the ability to work with them as an employee. Basically, what it is that every San Francisco resident, if they choose to opt out of either an employer plan, or they need to, basically, if they choose to opt out of an employer plan, the employer has to pay an hourly amount for every hour that the employee works into a medical reimbursement account through San Francisco City Option. And that money can be applied to premiums, health supplies, medications, co-payments, anything that you want to use it for. There's a list a mile long. It's like a 10-page list on their website. But the difference this year is that now that $400 a month can be used towards Covered California and other insurance premiums.
Okay, got it. Well, thank you. I did not know about this. And you can find it. It's actually a long URL, but if you go to sfcityoption.org, you can find more information about the medical reimbursement account in San Francisco. Laurel, you're familiar with this.
Right. So this is all in the context of the city law that San Francisco has requiring employers to make some kind of contribution to their workers' health insurance. It's called the Healthcare Security Ordinance, and San Francisco is the only city in the country with any law like this. For employers that don't provide health insurance directly to their employees, they have this city option as a way to fulfill their obligations under the law. My partner actually works in the restaurant industry, where employers are a lot less likely to provide health insurance. And so his employer participates in the city option and essentially puts every hour puts a certain amount of money in his medical reimbursement account, which he then uses to purchase coverage through Covered California, to pay his dental bills, and to pay other eligible medical expenses. And recently, San Francisco has built on this program by adding additional subsidies for premiums and out-of-pocket costs that go beyond the Affordable Care Act for people who have income below 500% of the federal poverty level, which is about $60,000 a year for a single person.
All right. Well, thank you for that information. We'll put a link to the SF Medical Reimbursement Account website on ours, yourcallradio.org, right after the show. Thanks for calling in, Lisa. Let's go next to GS in San Leandro. Hi, GS. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you. This is jaw-dropping to me. This is so ridiculously complex. Well, I should say first, I totally respect all your guests who have worked so hard to become so knowledgeable about the state of affairs now. I totally look forward to universal health care, period. If you're a person and you pay taxes, we make the adjustments necessary so that every single person who has paid taxes or still pays taxes or is on Social Security is covered, period. And, you know, it can be taken care of, or at least managed, by an agency of the federal government. I'm on Senior Advantage, and point of reference, I am a Kaiser Permanente member. I pay $106 per month to be covered. I pay modest copays, my meds and so on add up to maybe another $80 a month. An additional $400 a month to me would mean I would not eat lunch or dinner, period. So, it's jaw-dropping and ridiculous. I say get the insurance companies out of the picture. They don't add real value. Let's just reduce the cost by slashing that and making sure that just, period, everybody is covered, period. Thank you.
Well, GS, I hear you. I've been shaking my head throughout a lot of the show today. As you said, our guests are doing such great work, but so many people are confused. And I couldn't help but think about Dr. Danielle Martin, who is a physician at the Women's College Hospital in Toronto. And she was with Bernie Sanders when he introduced his health care for all bill. And she says, see this green card I have? When I go to the doctor, I hand the doctor my green card, and that's it. When I was pregnant, I gave the doctor my green card, and I was fully covered. It's hard to imagine a system like that in the United States.
Rose, can I add something here?
Please, Trudy, go ahead.
Because I know the Canadian system quite well. I have been up there several times studying it, giving lectures there and so forth. And every time I talk about the American system and talk about our concepts of coinsurance and co-payments and out-of-pocket costs and deductibles, I get hands from the audience. They're all raising their hands, and they say, what is this deductible? What is this coinsurance you're talking about? We don't know what you're talking about. So then for the next 10 minutes, I have to explain to them what all this is. And to a person in the room, they would come up to me and say, we would never tolerate this in our country.
Hmm. Well, we're having a debate about this in some places in the country. Here in California,
yep.
The Democrats running for governor recently sparred a bit about single-payer Medicare for all, health care for all, whatever you want to call it. What do you think, Anthony?
Well, so, you know, this is obviously a debate that has reignited, you know, when the Republicans say repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act and don't have an actual plan to replace. You know, there's several who say, well, if you're going to replace the Affordable Care Act, you know, why not something like Medicare for All? And, you know, you've seen that with bills like SB 562 in the state legislature, with the Medicare for All bills at the federal level that Senator Harris recently endorsed, and there is that conversation going on. I think that there's also a way to advance the vision of trying to get to that goal with also the steps to get there. To get to that vision, to get to simplicity from complexity requires some complexity in what that transition looks like and what timeline that transition is. And I think that there are steps that we can take, you know, without federal approval in the next couple of years here in California to try to expand coverage to universality, to try to simplify our healthcare system and you know, focus our healthcare system more on prevention rather than profit. Mm-hmm. There is still a lot that we can do, and we shouldn't have to wait for a new federal administration to take additional steps forward to get to universal. We've come so close under the Affordable Care Act. We've gone from about 80% insured rate to 93% with a 7% uninsured rate, with the largest drop of all 50 states in the nation. We can take additional steps forward in the next couple of years, and we hope that the gubernatorial race provides an opportunity to have that debate.
What do you think, Laurel? Are we closer?
Oh, we're much closer than we were, and I agree with Anthony that there are steps we can take in the short term to get even closer to universal coverage, like expanding Medi-Cal to undocumented residents in the state, like using state funds to make covered California insurance more affordable for those already eligible for subsidies and those who aren't. We do have to, you know, work longer term towards a system that's less complex, that, you know, controls costs better. But it's gonna take some work and hard thinking, as Anthony described.
Trudy?
Well, what I've seen this year, and I've actually been kind of surprised, is that the population, the whole U.S. population I'm talking about, I think I've seen more support for some kind of a national health insurance arrangement than I have seen in my entire time I've been writing about this, and I started seeing it last spring, actually, when I was looking a lot at how town halls were being covered across the country and what people were saying at the town halls. And I was very surprised at what people were saying, that they've had enough with the system. It doesn't work for anybody. It's too expensive. That they want something else, and they kind of know what that something else is. And they've begun to articulate this, and I would not have guessed this a year ago. Someone has said to me, you would see this, I would have been just dumbstruck. I mean, it wasn't going to happen. But I take that as a very positive thing, that the population of the U.S. is getting fed up with what they've got. As you can see, it's just incredibly complicated, and we don't control costs hardly at all. And I think people are beginning to get that message, that some serious cost control needs to be injected into the U.S. system. And I think that it's worth remembering that the main reason why we don't have it is why we don't have a different kind of system is that the major players in the system, doctors, hospitals, drug companies, device makers, and so forth, are against cost control. They do not want anything to touch their profits, and that has been the case in the U.S. for decades. Every time a president has tried to do something in this area, they've run up against this thing about not containing my profits. And until we get over that, I think we're not going to get there.
Well, to that point, Trudy, just quickly, a listener just posted what he got in the mail from his insurance company yesterday. I'm not sure which plan it is, but it's my health plan monthly premium increased. Why did this happen? And on this form, it says a federal tax on insurers will be reinstated. That's 3% of your rate increase. Another 3% is attributed to the uncertainty. The other 2% is based on changes to the federal risk adjustment program. And he writes, it doesn't matter the administration. The health insurance companies are unregulated. The ACA caused rates to rise, and so did ending parts of it. The constant is the greed of this out-of-control industry.
Well, I think the thing that the insurance company didn't mention is how much they were passing along to policyholders in the form of increased costs caused by hospitals and doctors, which account for 52% of the costs in the American healthcare system. And you have to remember, insurers spend a lot of money on administrative costs that, you know, we maybe don't need, and it's a way to reduce overall costs. However, the insurance companies are just a pass-through. The real costs in the system are the ones who provide the services, the medical services, and that's the doctors and the hospitals. And drug companies only account for about 10% of all of U.S. healthcare costs. So I think we have to stand back and look at who the real culprits in the system are and begin to think about how to deal with that question.
Trudy Lieberman has been a journalist for more than 45 years, covering healthcare for much of her career. She writes for the Columbia Journalism Review, and she writes a bi-monthly column, Thinking About Health, for the Rural Health News Service. Anthony Wright is Executive Director of Health Access California, and Laurel Lucia is Director of the Healthcare Program at UC Berkeley's Labor Center. Laurel, Trudy, and Anthony, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And again, the enrollment period under Covered California starts tomorrow, ends on January 31st, coveredca.com. Find more information at yourcallradio.org. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Call. Thanks for joining us.